Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So instead of the regular class today, since it's what they call Guru Purnima and a celebration of the disappearance of Sanatan Goswami, so I thought it would be appropriate to remind ourselves a little bit about who Sanatan Goswami is and the importance of his appearance as a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and one of the founding fathers, if you like, of the Krishna consciousness movement, which is now, of course, spread all over the world. So in 1976, Srila Prabhupada was in New York. He just arrived there. And July the 11th happened to be this Guru Purnima. So we didn't know much about that. And and also it was the disappearance of Sanatan Goswami. So on the morning walk, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada what was the particular significance of Guru Purnima. Because we know it's not on our calendar. At least it's not, you know, emphasized on our calendar, Guru Purnima. So Prabhupada answered very simply. He said, Guru Puja, that you are doing daily. So this Guru Purnima, generally you'll see that once a year the followers, mainly the Mayavadis, different camps, they have this so-called Guru Purnima. But in our practice, our standard, Prabhupada emphasized very much the worship of the Guru, and that was why he instituted daily Guru Puja. So that was his answer. So after we went back to the temple, in those days, of course, we had that big skyscraper building in West 55th Street. So there was about 1,000 devotees gathered. And Prabhupada in his class mentioned something about the importance of Sanatan Goswami in particular. So this is again July the 11th, 1976. Because Prabhupada has already been lecturing on the Chaitanya Charitamrita's discussion between Sanatan Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since our visit to Washington, his class today was very appropriate to the significance of the day. So Prabhupada, whilst he was, it was his last tour in America, we had gone to Potomac, to the Washington, D.C. temple there, and Prabhupada started to lecture from the Chaitanya Charitamrita rather than the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada told his packed audience, Sanatan Goswami is Guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is authorizing him to become Guru. This is the parampara system. Nobody can become Guru all of a sudden. Self-made Guru, that is not Guru. Here, Sanatan Goswami is presented as the ideal disciple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is authorizing him. Therefore, he says, Krishna Shakti Dhara Tumi. Unless he has got the power to receive the instruction, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not going to waste his time. He has the power, and he is empowered. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is that to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So he is empowering Sanatan Goswami to take this task and spread Krishna consciousness. Without getting the power of attorney, just like even if one is a qualified lawyer, He must get the power of attorney from his client, and then he can speak. That is the law. Similarly, without being endowed with the power of attorney from Krishna, it is not possible to preach. So our business is, because we are preparing ourselves to preach Krishna consciousness, that we must be qualified to get that power of attorney. Sometimes we speak, "Oh, I will preach." What will you preach? First of all, get the power of attorney, then you can preach. Preaching is not so easy that anyone and everyone can preach. Krishna Shakti Vinanai Tara Pravartana. So to get that power of attorney, one has to qualify himself. Not that the power of attorney is hanging in the tree and you simply take it. So how this power of attorney can be achieved? That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You are singing daily to your guru. Now, today is Guru Purnima. So especially we should understand what is the power of attorney. So, because there's more in that class, but that was the emphasis, that you can't preach Krishna consciousness unless you've been empowered by your superior Vaishnav. Everybody has to take shelter of a leading Vaishnav or a qualified Vaishnav, learn from them, and then it becomes very easy, in one sense, to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Sanatana Goswami is one of the founders of Lord Chaitanya's movement, and we can see that at that time, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, practically there were no books about Krishna consciousness. Yeah, all the books that we have that we study and we get the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from, they're given to us by the immediate followers of Lord Chaitanya, Sanatana, Rupa, Raghunath, etc. So it's very important that whatever we preach is authorized. It comes from the Supreme Lord himself and is passed down in parampara. If somebody is not in parampara, even if they can speak very nicely, very sweetly, but if they're not in the proper parampara, then what we don't take any notice of what they say. Prabhupada was very strict about that, that we must be in the parampara. Then you get empowered by the Lord within and without, the guru and the supersoul. And when we're pure enough, then we can speak whatever they've informed us and give Krishna consciousness to others. So that's our system, that we become Krishna conscious ourselves, but at the same time we want to give Krishna consciousness to others. I need a little help here. Can somebody come up and just, you can do it. I've got cramps in my feet, so I need somebody to massage them. Just move that. Press. Not too fast, slowly. Okay, you'll have to sit down if you're going to be there because it's going to come back. Sorry about this. Just press it and hold it. Okay, so on with the class. Alright, so it's very important that we understand the literatures that have been left to us by the six Goswamis and others, and that way it will become easily understood who is Lord Chaitanya. And we take up the work that Lord Chaitanya has left. Part of Lord Chaitanya's work was to rediscover the holy places in Vrindavan of Krishna's pastimes. So that was 500 years ago. Now we see similarly that Srila Prabhupada is doing the same thing. He's developing Mayapur. So Mayapur for some time disappeared from our view. Yeah, couple of centuries ago, nobody knew what is Mayapur. And similarly, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna consciousness or Vrindavan, that was not so well known. I mean, there was a place in Vrindavan, but there were no temples when the six Goswamis went there. There was no preaching going on. So one of the important things that they had to do was to reveal or unveil the places of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Similarly, now 500 years later, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, then gradually the spiritual nature of the Dham is again being unveiled, especially here in Mayapur. Vrindavan is going on. Now it's the time for the revelation of Krishna consciousness through Lord Chaitanya's movement, and this Dham of Mayapur is the center point for all of that, as Vrindavan was the center point for the preaching of the six Goswamis. So we'll just read a few bits and pieces that I pulled out from Prabhupada's books last night. So this is Adi Leela, 10th chapter, text 36. By the will of the Supreme Gardener, the branches of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami grew many times over, expanding throughout the western countries and covering the entire region. So very similar. Prabhupada went to the west and uncovered Krishna consciousness and spread it from there. So he's one of the important branches of what's been described, at least figuratively, as a tree, the tree of Krishna consciousness, and the many branches of that tree. So that the six Goswamis, and in particular Rupa and Sanatan, they manifold developed this understanding and philosophy of who Krishna is, who we are, what this world is, what is the purpose of life. That was the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's coming. So next verse, extending to the borders of the river Sindhu and the Himalayan mountain valleys, these two branches expanded throughout India, including all the places of pilgrimage such as Vrindavan, Mathura, and Haridwar. The fruits of love of Godhead, which fructified on these two branches, were distributed in abundance. Tasting these fruits, everyone became mad after them. So they were not simply sitting under trees, taking it easy, having a meal, and then taking an afternoon nap. The six Goswamis were very busy all the time, hard at work, and their disciples gradually also going out and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the country. Yeah, beginning in here in Mayapur, but then later on spreading to Vrindavan, going south. Lord Chaitanya went on his All India tour. So they were very, very busy and anxious to see the Krishna consciousness be available to all those persons, at least who have a human form of life, and beyond that, of course. So tasting these fruits, everybody became mad after them. So the people in general on the western side of India were neither intelligent nor well-behaved. But by the influence of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were trained in devotional service and good behavior. So that's the first thing. If we want to become devotees, we have to know the standard of behavior. That's very important. Sadhana. When one is situated on the tree of devotional service, then that means that one is situated in goodness. Yeah, without being situated in the mode of goodness, it's not possible to make advancement in spiritual life. So there's a Vaishnav etiquette, there's Vaishnav standards of behavior, and all of those standards were given actually and established by the six Goswamis, and especially Srila Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. We'll read about that in a minute. So Prabhupada gives a purport to this verse about Western India. But we're also Westerners. In India there's West India, and on the planet there's the Western countries, which Prabhupada says have no good behavior or good qualities. So that has to be, you know, washed out first, and then we can come as a clean sheet before the Lord. So Prabhupada says, although it is not only in Western India that people were contaminated by association with Muslims, it is a fact that the further west one goes in India, the more he will find the people to be fallen from the Vedic culture. Until 5,000 years ago, when the entire planet was under the control of Maharaj Pariksit, the Vedic culture was current everywhere. Gradually, however, people were influenced by non-Vedic culture, and they lost sight of how to behave in connection with devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami very kindly preached the Bhakti cult in Western India, and following in their footsteps, the propagators of the Chaitanya cult in the Western countries are spreading the Sankirtan movement and inculcating the principles of Vaishnava behavior, thus purifying and reforming many persons who were previously accustomed to the culture of Malechas and Yavanas. All of our devotees in the Western countries give up their old habits of illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. Of course, 500 years ago, these practices were unknown in India, at least in Eastern India. But unfortunately, at present, all of India has been victimized by these non-Vedic principles, which are sometimes even supported by the government. So this is another reason why Prabhupada came or was sent, why Lord Chaitanya began to activate the Krishna consciousness movement and make the seeds of devotion that he had planted when he appeared then start to grow at this time in history, because people become so fallen they have no idea anymore. Not even Prabhupada says here that even the Indian government supports non-devotional activities. India is one of the biggest exporters of cow flesh, yeah, and skins, cow hides in the world. This is supposed to. So, on the one hand, you get the politicians standing up and saying, "Yes, no more cow slaughter," and then behind the backs, they're encouraging this export of killing cows and using the meat and flesh to feed the Western countries. So it's not a very good condition that we're in right now, and therefore this is the time for the Krishna consciousness movement to become active again. Yeah. So Adilila 1090, in accordance with the directions of the revealed scriptures, both Goswamis excavated the lost places of pilgrimage and inaugurated the worship of deities in Vrindavan. So when they first went there were no temples and there were no deities. They had to discover all the different places of pastimes, and then they would establish deity worship, because without deity worship you cannot maintain your purity. That's a fact. That we have to worship the deity. Because someone who's very advanced, it's not required to worship the deity, but for the mass of the population of Vaishnavas, the younger ones, they have to worship the deity to purify themselves and develop a mood of reverence and awe towards the Supreme Lord. Once that has been established in their heart, then gradually, Krishna more spontaneously reveals himself within the heart of the practitioner, and they come to the second and top stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. But at the beginning, it's very important to establish the standards of behavior so there can be no cheaters coming along and in the name of devotional service doing all kinds of nonsense. So Prabhupada was very keen. You'll see that was one of his main preaching platforms, was to smash the Mayavadis, yeah, because they have misled people in general as to what God is, what our relationship with him is, etc. So Prabhupada says in his purport here, the spot where we now find Radhakund was an agricultural field during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A small reservoir of water was there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in that water and pointed out that originally Radhakund existed in that location. Following his directions, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami renovated Radhakund. This is one of the brilliant examples of how the Goswamis excavated lost places of pilgrimage. Similarly, it is through the endeavor of the Goswamis that all the important temples in Vrindavan were established. Originally, there were 7 important Gaudiya Vaishnav temples established in Vrindavan, namely Madana Mohan Temple, Govinda Temple, Gopinath Temple, Radha Raman Temple, Radha Shamasunda Temple, Radha Damodar Temple, and Gokulananda Temple. So they were all established by the 6 Goswamis. So as I say, the 6 Goswamis were not lazy fellows. Yeah, just simply begging some few grains or fruits or whatever and then sleeping under the trees. There was a conversation Prabhupada had with one gentleman in 1976 from Aligarh, and Prabhupada was recounting how one man in the 1940s, he was a friend of Prabhupada's, but he was asking him, why are you bothering with this so-called Vaishnavism? He said, I've been to Vrindavan. I see these Vaishnavs are nothing but lazy fellows, simply begging and sleeping in the name of being devotees. So he had a very low opinion from going to Vrindavan of what a Vaishnav was. So Prabhupada challenged him. He said, actually, the greatest personalities are Vaishnavs. He said, there were 2 great wars in the past. One was the Kurukshetra War, and one was the Ram Ravana War. So Prabhupada told this man, have you seen them? Have you seen Hanuman? Have you seen Arjuna? That is a Vaishnav. They're fighting on behalf of Krishna to the last breath. So in that way, Prabhupada was very stoutly protecting the reputation of the Vaishnavs. And it's a fact, when you go to Vrindavan, there's so many nonsense rascals that go there just to, get free food, board and lodge. Yeah, but they don't do anything. They don't know anything, and they don't do anything to spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he criticized them. Kali Chela, he's got neck beads, he's got tilak, he's got a shaved head, he's got beads, but actually he is a Kali Chela, a follower of Kali. not a genuine Vaishnav. So Prabhupada was very keen to give us exactly what the 6 Goswamis had given their followers, to make sure that the standards are at least maintained, if not improved. So, Adilila 147, Srila Sanatan Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers one the shelter of the lotus feet of Madana Mohan. That was the deities that he established, Madana Mohan Temple. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavan due to forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavan and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatan Goswami. Sri Govindaji acts exactly like the Shiksha Guru, or instructing spiritual master, by teaching Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita. He is the original preceptor, for he gives us his instructions and an opportunity to serve him. So that's Krishna speaking to his friend Arjuna. So he is the original preceptor. The initiating spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Sri Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representative of Srila Govindadev Vigraha. Both of these deities are worshipped in Vrindavan, Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction in spiritual realization. So they're the three most important deities, Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, Madana Mohan, then Govinda Dev, and then Lord Gopinath. And these represent different stages of advancement. When you've learned everything initially from Madana Mohan, then gradually you learn more from Govinda Dev, and then finally Sri Gopinath is the final instructor. So, by the mercy of Sanatan Goswami, I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Srila Rupa Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, the teacher of the science of devotional service, wrote several books, of which the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is very famous. Anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna must read this book. Sanatan Goswami also wrote a special commentary on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, known as the Dasama Tipani, which is so excellent that by reading it, one can understand very deeply the pastimes of Krishna in his exchanges of loving activities. Another famous book by Sanatan Goswami is the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which states the rules and regulations for all divisions of Vaishnavas, namely Vaishnava householders, Vaishnava brahmacharis, Vaishnava vanaprastas, and Vaishnava sannyasis. This book was especially written, however, for the Vaishnava householders. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has described Sanatan Goswami in his prayer, Vilapa Kusmanjali, verse 6, where he has expressed his obligation to Sanatan Goswami in the following words. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service possessed of renunciation, but Sanatan Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it, even though I was otherwise unable to do so. Therefore, he is an ocean of mercy. He is very compassionate to fallen souls like me, and thus it is my duty to offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also, in the last section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, specifically mentions the names of Rupa, Sanatan, and Jiva Goswami, and offers his respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of these three spiritual masters, as well as Raghunath Das. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami also accepted Sanatan Goswami as the teacher of the science of devotional service. So Rupa, Sanatan, and Sri Jiva are mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada. It's interesting because in the 1960s, before going to the West, when Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, then he had actually some revelation of these three Goswamis, Sanatan, Rupa, and Jiva Goswami. Prabhupada was living in the Radha Damodara and he was writing the Bhagavatam. And there's one young student that used to come and see him. His name was Gopal Chandra Ghosh. And he was about 20 years old at that time. So he liked Prabhupada. He met him several times at the Radha Damodara temple. And he came one time and he saw Prabhupada was in a kind of a ecstatic condition. He was chanting very wonderfully, and it was very visible to Gopal Chandra Ghosh. Something was going on between Srila Prabhupada and who? So he asked him, is there some special thing happened during your puja? So Prabhupada wouldn't say anything to begin with, but this boy pressed him a little bit. So then Prabhupada told him that during the night when he was chanting, because he was living there at the Samadhi, Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, so he said that during the night, these three Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan and Jiva Goswami, had visited him in his dream and given him specific instructions about his writing and future preaching when he was to be sent to the West. So we see a very similar thing. The movement was down, it was covered over and suppressed, and just as it was 500 years ago. So the six Goswamis, they had to write all of the literatures which would carry and establish the Krishna consciousness movement forward for many hundreds or thousands of years. And similarly, we see that after 500 years of their appearance, things again were in a similar kind of hidden condition. So Prabhupada was inspired and instructed to write these books, to deliver these books for the future our generation and the future generation of Vaishnavas. Very similar parallels happening here with the six Goswamis moving to Vrindavan. Prabhupada moved into the Radha Damodar temple. He was writing like anything, day and night. They were also writing like anything, even they had to live under a tree. Sometimes they had no place to stay, but that writing was the important thing for the future generations of Vaishnavas. So we can see from this story, and I can verify that it's a fact, that revelation of the three personalities, Rupa, Sanatan, and Jiva Goswami, did in fact appear to Srila Prabhupada and instruct him personally. I had been told when I first joined Prabhupada's party at the end of November in 75 that Prabhupada had had some kind of revelation from Rupa Goswami. Hari Kesh Prabhu told me that, but he didn't know any of the details. So I was very curious whether this was true, and if it was, you know, what happened. So I thought, you know, if I ever get the chance, I'll ask Srila Prabhupada if it's true. So after 7 months, we left India and gone on tour. We were in London, and Bhagavan Prabhu, he was the BBT trustee at that time in London, he came to see Prabhupada, and he showed him the new French printing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Volume 1, the very first French edition. So Prabhupada was exceedingly happy to see that the Bhagavatam was now published in French language. And after some time, Bhagavan and I think Prithipuja Maharaj was there and Hari Kesh, they left Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada took up the Bhagavatam, French Bhagavatam, started looking through it, and they had put in some actual photographs of the Radha Damodar temple in Prabhupada's room. And that was something new, actually. In the English Bhagavatam, they were not putting photographs, but only paintings. So all the art department, they were painting all the pastimes, that was photographed and printed in the Bhagavatam. But in this French Bhagavatam, Bhagavan did something a little different. They actually got photos of the places of pastimes and put those in. So some of those photos were of the Radha Damodar temple and Prabhupada's rooms there. So Prabhupada started reminiscing, looking through. I was showing him, oh, they've put some pictures of your room in the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada looked, he said, oh, very nice. And he started reminiscing about how he came to be offered those two rooms by the Goswamis that were running that temple. And Prabhupada said, I had to spend some money to fix it up. The Saivite there, and what was it? I forget his name now. He told Prabhupada, you can have these two rooms. If you like, you can pay some rent or not. It's up to you. So Prabhupada was thinking, previously, the previous occupant was paying 5 rupees a month rent. So I had to spend some money to fix it up. So I'll give him 10 rupees. So that was the rental on those two rooms there in Radhadamodar temple. And Prabhupada, because he was in such a relaxed mood and so appreciative, and he's talking about, you know, living in that room and looking through the window there, not glass window, the jolly windows, he could see Rupa Goswami's samadhi. So I thought, this is the time, it's now or never. So I asked Prabhupada that, you know, I was told that from that sitting in that room you could see Rupa Goswami's samadhi, and that he appeared to you at some point and gave you some instructions for preaching in the West. So as soon as I said that, Prabhupada's mood changed a little bit and he diverted me from the question. He said, oh, everybody knows that. And that was, then he changed the subject. So although I didn't get any detail, I got a confirmation from Prabhupada that that Rupa Goswami did actually appear before him and instruct him. So the story was expanded later on. I mean, that was just a short, clipped one sentence, everybody knows that. And that was the only chance I got. But then in the 1990s, 20 years later, our god sister Mula Prakriti Devi Dasi, she compiled a book of interviews with various personalities in Vrindavan about their experiences with Srila Prabhupada. The book's called Srila Prabhupada, Our Friend, something like that. So Mula Prakriti was the one who actually, she interviewed Gopal Chandra Ghosh. By that time he was into his 50s. This is like 25 years after he used to go and see Prabhupada at Radhadamodar. And he gave this further detail that actually it was Rupa, Sanatan and Jiva Goswami, and he described them. He said Prabhupada described them as very beautiful personalities with eyes just like lotuses, yeah, and very learned, and just wearing kopin and japa mala around their necks and always chanting. So we anyway, it's very interesting, as I say, the parallels between what happened 500 years ago. We're reading here about Sanatan Goswami getting his first instructions for writing, and 500 years later we have Srila Prabhupada at the Radhadamodar temple getting his instructions for writing also. So there's a lot of parallels. The Krishna consciousness movement appeared at the time of Lord Chaitanya and then seemed to disappear. Similarly, Krishna consciousness appeared for some time and then seemed to disappear again, but then was revived by the sincere disciples and followers coming in the disciplic succession. So very nice description. So when Sanatan Goswami came from Bengal, he met Lord Chaitanya at the house of Tapan Misra, where Lord Chaitanya remained continuously for 2 months to teach him devotional service. In the purport, Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatan Goswami in the line of disciplic succession. Sanatan Goswami was a very learned scholar in Sanskrit and other languages, but until instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not write anything about Vaishnav behavior. His very famous book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives directions for Vaishnav candidates, was written completely in compliance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this Hari Bhakti Vilas, Srila Sanatana Goswami gives definite instructions by which proper initiation by bona fide spiritual master, one can immediately become a brahmana. So that's the platform of the mode of goodness, of course. So the first thing was to establish everybody in the proper standards of behavior. Then they become fit for understanding the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. So that was one of the first things, this Hari Bhakti Vilas, very, very important because it establishes the sense in the mode of goodness. Urdhvam gacchanti satvasta. Urdhvam. You go up. If you come in contact with the satvasta, or you're situated in the satvic atmosphere, yeah, mode of goodness, then urdhvam gacchanti, you go up. But if you remain on the passionate platform, or in ignorance, then you go to passionate platform, you remain as you are, but you don't learn anything. And the ignorance platform, jaganya guni vrittista tamogacchanti. Tamogacchanti means going down into the mode of ignorance, tamagun. So that's where we're at now. Very horrible things happening all over the world. Right now in America, there's a huge debate going on about abortions. And how old should the embryo be before it's forbidden to kill it? Yeah. So they're debating, should we kill the babies, you know, just before 6 weeks gestation? Can we go up to 24 weeks? Like they're actually talking about what to do with or how to successfully kill little babies. One fellow, he was speaking to a political committee that was formed for studying this, and he was describing that they've invented an implement. It's like a U-shape with serrated edges, and they push that into the womb of the woman, the pregnant woman, and drag out, they cut it to pieces and they drag out the embryo. This is going on as we're speaking. This is supposed to be a civilization, and no civilization, especially not in the West. Yeah, horrible, horrible things you can't even imagine and describe are going on. So that, this point, therefore, Lord Chaitanya is reactivating, or he is now enabling the seed of bhakti to start sprouting, and that will spread, or is spreading, all over the world. So it's very, very important that we take this task up seriously, because in the future, at some point or another, these demonic persons that are in charge will have to be removed. They'll have to be banned. And then real Vaishnavas will have to take charge and lead people into the level of real human existence. Okay. So, after thus delivering people in general, the Lord desired to leave Varanasi. After instructing Sanatan Goswami, he sent him toward Vrindavan. So in the purport, the actual purpose of Lord Chaitanya's stay at Varanasi after coming back from Vrindavan was to meet Sanatan Goswami and teach him. Sanatan Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after the Lord's return to Varanasi, where the Lord taught him for 2 months about the intricacies of Vaishnava philosophy and Vaishnava activity. After completely instructing him, he sent him to Vrindavan to execute his orders. When Sanatan Goswami went to Vrindavan, there were no temples. The city was lying vacant like an open field. Sanatan Goswami sat down on the banks of the Jamuna, and after some time, he gradually constructed the first temple. Then other temples were constructed, and now the city is full of temples, numbering about 5,000. So from a small beginning, now something worldwide. Don't press too hard. Good. So that first temple, then, everybody knows. What was the first temple established? Madana Mohan. Right, Sanatan Goswami. So he built the first temple. He got the money for that from a rich merchant who got stranded on the sandbanks of the Jamuna. So he gave him advice how to free his ship. And when the next tide came in, then the ship bobbed up and freed. So the man gave the profit that he made from selling his cargo, which was salt. He went to the markets, he sold that, and then donated all that money to Sanatan Goswami to build this temple for Madana Mohan. And then from that, gradually all these other temples became constructed. So again, Sanatana Goswami was the eldest, he's the older brother of Rupa, and Anupam was another brother who was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. He went with Rupa Goswami when they escaped from the Nawab, but when they got to Vrindavan, Anupam couldn't change his allegiance. He was so much in love with Lord Ramachandra that he couldn't give him up. And Lord Chaitanya was kind of joking with him that, now tomorrow I want to see that you've given up your attachment to Lord Ram, and now you become a follower of Krishna, like that. So he practically died at the thought that he would have to give up his worship of Lord Ram. And in fact, he did disappear. He left his body fairly early on after that. So he was, although the brother of Sanatana and Rupa, he was in a different leela. But Rupa and Sanatana, they were the arch followers of Radha Krishna. And they established the deity worship first of Krishna with Radha Raman and other deities, because he was self-manifest. But then gradually they were started worshipping Radharani as well. So Radha Krishna worship was established during this time. Same thing, Prabhupada came to the West, there was nothing. Yeah, there was no such thing as Krishna conscious temples. But by his persistence, by his purity, gradually in appreciation, and according to the desire of his pure devotee, Krishna started to appear in many different deity forms. Yeah. Of course, Lord Jagannath was the first one in 1967, when the devotees first met Prabhupada. Then Malati, she went to this trading store where they were selling artifacts from India, and she saw some wooden figure carved and painted. She didn't know what it was, but very curious. So she knew somehow or another, let me take one and show it to the Swami, he'll know what it is. So as soon as she brought it to Prabhupada, Prabhupada saw it's Lord Jagannath. So he immediately got down and offered his obeisances to this, what the devotees thought was a wooden doll. And then Prabhupada asked, is there any more different colors? So she went back, she found Balaram and Subhadra. So Lord Jagannath appeared right at the very beginning of Prabhupada's preaching. And we see that the activities of Lord Jagannath, which we just concluded, going out on his chariot with his brother and sister, now that's going on all over the world. Yeah. So wherever that Rathiyatra was established, immediately Krishna consciousness began to flourish. That's a fact. What time is it? Okay, we've got time for one more. There's a lot of information. I'm going to skip a lot of it, but let me just... Okay. So there's a couple of other mentions here that I jotted down at the time. In 1976, April the 10th, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. It was just coming to the end of the Vrindavan Mayapur Festival, or the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. And Prabhupada was speaking in class about an exchange between Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. So Prabhupada said in his class, there was also an exchange between Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, which Prabhupada further beautifully illustrated the real devotional sentiment. So Prabhupada told us, there is another narration of Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. They were living in this forest of Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami was the elder brother, and Rupa Goswami was the younger brother. So they were living underneath a tree. So they had no means. That means they had no possessions, not even anything to eat properly. You know, sometimes they would go a day, 2 days, and forget to eat. You can imagine what kind of condition you're in if you forget to eat. Nobody forgets to eat. So they were underneath the tree. So Rupa Goswami thought, if I could get some articles, I could prepare something and invite my guru Sanatan Goswami. So not only was he the elder brother, but he was looked upon by Rupa as his guru. So just after a few minutes, one very nice young girl came with so much presentation of rice, dal, ghee, and so many other things. So she came and she offered to the Goswami, "Baba, please take this presentation. We've got some ceremony at our house, and my mother has sent it, so you take it." So he was very glad. "Oh, I was thinking if I could get some nice things, I could prepare and invite Sanatan Goswami." So he was very glad to receive these articles, and he invited Sanatan Goswami, and he prepared so many nice foodstuffs and offered them to the deity. And Sanatan Goswami was given this prasadam. Sanatan Goswami was very pleased, and then he inquired, "Rupa Goswami, where did you get these nice things? You were living under this tree. How could you receive all these things?" "Yes, my dear brother, I was just thinking in the morning. In the meantime, a very nice young girl came and offered so many things, so then I could cook." "Oh," Sanatan said, "what is that? Who is that young girl in this forest? How was she looking?" "Oh, she was very, very beautiful." "Oh, Radharani. Oh," so he was very sorry. Yeah, he said, "We are trying to serve Radharani, and you were taking service from Radharani." So he rebuked him, told him off. "You should have understood this was Radharani giving you all these ingredients." So nice story. So this is pure devotional service, Prabhupada told us. They are avoiding to take service from Krishna or Radharani. And Krishna and Radharani, they were finding out the opportunity how to serve their devotee. So this is the competition between Krishna and his devotees. One last little story. I haven't got the date written down when I heard this, but in a kutia cottage made from leaves, Sanatan Goswami lived for some time at Mahavan, the birthplace of Sri Krishna. One day, he was walking along the banks of the Jamuna, going to beg some foodstuffs in a nearby village. Madan Gopaldev was playing with some cowherd boys there, and when he saw Sanatan Goswami, he came running up towards him. "Baba, Baba." Catching hold of Sanatan's hand, he told him, "I want to go with you." "Lala," replied Sanatan, "why do you want to go with me?" "No, I want to stay where you live." "Oh, if you stay with me, what will you eat?" "Baba, whatever you eat." "But I only eat some dry chapatis and chickpeas." "Then that is what I will eat." "No, that won't be enough for you. You should stay here with your mother and father." "No, Baba, no, I want to stay with you." So Sanatan Goswami patiently explained that the boy might be feeling difficulty if he stayed with him, and he sent him home. Then he went to beg some chapatis in the village. So that night, in a dream, he saw that boy again coming to him. Smiling very sweetly, he caught hold of Sanatan's hand and said, "Baba, I'm coming tomorrow to stay with you. My name is Madan Gopal." So then his dream ended and he woke up and he lost himself in great ecstasy. He said to himself, "What did I see? Such a beautiful boy." Thinking of Lord Krishna, he opened the door to his hut and saw standing outside a beautiful deity of Gopal. His effulgence shone in all directions. For a few seconds, Sanatan Goswami was completely stunned as he gazed upon Gopal's radiant smile. He expected that the deity might say something or come towards him. Finally, tears of love glided down his cheeks. Sanatan fell to the ground, offering his dandavats. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai. So it's 9 o'clock. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Anything to add? There's lots more. If you go on the internet now, there's so much information. Anyway, that's the beginnings of the Krishna consciousness movement as we know it. Yeah. The six Goswamis, on instruction from Radha and Krishna, from within, they got the mercy of these wonderful devotees. And by their mercy, then, the whole Krishna consciousness movement has unfolded. So therefore, we have to be very careful to worship them, give them the proper attention, and look after them very, very nicely. If we commit offenses, then everything will go. Prabhupada did say, yes, this movement will go on for 10,000 years, only if you maintain the purity. We sometimes forget to mention that automatically everything's going to flourish for 10,000 years. But only if you actually maintain the standards that it can. Otherwise, the alternative is that gradually it'll become like Bhaktivinoda Thakur observed, so many apasampradayas, seeming to be Krishna conscious, seeming to spread the chanting, but actually bogus, not following the standards of behavior. And in that way, gradually covering over the potency of the holy name and the purity of the Krishna consciousness movement. So we have to be very careful to make sure that we do the best that we can, whatever it may be. We may be a book distributor, as we can see, writing books was one of the most important endeavors. Prabhupada considered writing his books to be the single most personal service that he could do for his Guru Maharaj. So we have to be alert to see that we follow the process very properly. And then gradually, Krishna will appear. And of course, sometimes he appears, even great devotees like the six Goswamis don't recognize as a little boy or a little girl. But even not knowing who they were at the time, later on they realized this beautiful little girl or beautiful little boy, that was Radha and Krishna. So that can come. Prabhupada said that very clearly, if we follow very strictly. Okay, so we'll finish there. One, is it a quick question or a convoluted?
A little while ago I met a man here in Mayapur that was 80 years old, and he was asking Maharaj for blessings to get married. So I can understand that the desire for eating, sleep, mating, defending can go on for a long time. But how did Sanatana Goswami, these Goswamis, how did they really get free from that and become totally attached to Krishna?
Yatechchasitatakaru. After Krishna had spoken everything to Arjuna, explained, you know, the five main topics that are found in the Bhagavad Gita. What is God? What is the material world? What is the soul? What is time? What is work? At the end of that instruction, 700 verses, or near the end, Krishna tells Arjuna, now I've told you everything. Yatechchasitatakaru. You decide what you want to do. You don't become a pure devotee automatically. You're actively making a decision that this is what I want. That I want to serve Krishna. I want to, you know, do nice things, cook nicely for him, sweep the floor, whatever. But you make a conscious decision. And that's going on all the time. Because that minute independence is always with us. But it becomes so insignificant when it's compared to the activities of devotional service. Then one, you know, not automatically, but by association, gradually the heart becomes purified and we understand, you know, this is the real platform of life, serving Krishna. And if we don't make that conscious decision to serve Krishna, that's nearly automatic that Maya will come in and make you her servant. So we all have a choice. Whether we're 80 years old, 800 years old, 8,000 years old, we've had so many births and we're still here. So when are we going to make that choice? That's the question. That's up to us. All right, we'll finish there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hari, and I have one small question. Jain Hari,